Great to have you with us. It's Wednesday, the 19th of February. Fox Footy is going to dominate the football landscape again this year. No question about it. Wisp, you'd have to agree.
No question about that, Gary.
We had our get-together over the last day, and that means all the big guns come into town. And Rasciuto comes in from Adelaide, and Lynch comes down from Queensland. And then the big dog from the west comes over, and that is Matthew Pavlich. And we don't get to speak to Pav much for obvious reasons, the time difference and for whatever else, but he's here and he's in the studio with us, and it is great to see you in here, young man. Welcome.
Guys, thanks for having us. Tim, always a pleasure to see you in person.
Great to see you. Great to see you. How did you go yesterday with the big fox love-in fest that was going on?
Well, you've got the big cats, as yeah. Bob Murphy likes to talk about. You've got the big cats of, Brown and Revolt and Lion and Healy and... And then you've got a few of the sort of meerkats, which I think Bob likes to call himself a meerkat. And he was saying that I was a bit more like a utility in terms of, you know, sort of can play a little bit through that big cat area, but certainly can mix it with the others.
Strong presence. He's a strong presence in the Fox lineup.
It's a lot of testosterone in the room, but the good news is there's lots of females now, so it sort of balances it out, which is great. It's a good fun day and ended up last night.
On a serious note, and before you start taking the piss, and I know you will, which is
great. No, I wouldn't.
No, I love that you do. I said to Tim earlier, we were talking about the Fox thing, I said, you know, it's rare when you've been involved in a football club for a long time, and the unique elements of that are, mate, you know, you've got 20 mates. Fox Footy is the closest thing to a footy club that I reckon you'd find because it's so big and broad. Yep. I mean, were there 20-odd ex-players probably yesterday?
Well, at least, yeah. And then you've got, people from all different, you know, whether it's journalists or, TV stars coming in as well, netballers. There's a really mix, and it's so inclusive. I think you're right. It's everyone, you know, welcomes you. I've been out of the game for a few years now, and everyone welcomes you with a big warm hug and a high five and whatever else. And you're right, it is very close to that collegiate sort of footy club environment.
It was when I walked into the bar and Rasciuto was running the punters club over in the corner as I was having a few beers.
Well, you left a little early given the fact that you had to be here this morning, but I can tell you what happened after.
Yes.
Is that there was two tables. Rasciuto and Dunstall were leading one, which I was on.
Yep.
And there was another table. And it wasn't, it was just that you could choose one a horse or dog.
Right.
And so one table would choose, you know, one and you, the other table would get the field. And Rasciuto nailed 14 in a row. So he had king and 14 races in a row. So it was incredible. So Dunstall and Rasciuto were having a great time.
At what time was that, Pat? Because that was about 7:15. I said goodbye.
Only about an hour or two later.
Well,
so
he said to
late.
Me, I'm coming 5 minutes later. I'm going to go to bed too.
So who tells the best war stories of all those blokes when they're in a room? Who holds court?
Well, most people hold court. It depends on who has the microphone at that point in time.
Right.
David King is pretty good. Gaz isn't too bad. Brownie is pretty handy as well. I think everyone, you know what it's like, Tim.
Yep.
Everyone can tell us a good story. But I think I talked about Bob Murphy before. I know he's on this station a little bit. But it's
a lot. He's got the afternoon shift now.
His unique way of storytelling is very, very tricky and very, very clever.
My job solely on that day, Tim, is to keep things moving.
Was
That's
it?
How I see my sole Wait, responsibility.
You like the MC, are you?
No, I just like to make sure we
so you can get home?
Yes, exactly right. Just keep rolling along.
Everyone was getting into Andrew Gaze's shoes yesterday. He didn't wear appropriate shoes. Did you see his
I didn't see Gaze's shoes.
You know, those sneeds?
Mm. No, he's down the back, I didn't.
See, that's
dressing's
the
not...
alpha male coming out. See, look at this.
This was the other question. Who got up the front for the team photo,
I told
the Fox
you
team
was
photo?
Up the front.
Yeah, well, we talked. So, you introduced me as one of the out of towners, the interstaters. We were out the back.
Right.
Lynch, Rasciuto, and Pavlich were out the back. And then you had sort of a mix of people throughout the middle. But then, front row was.
Was Sarah Jones,
Sarah
Jonathan
Jones,
Brown, and Nick.
And Rui.
Revolt, yeah.
And, no, hang on a second.
Where was Gary?
Where were you?
Side. Off to the side.
Hardly on a flank. You were right in the middle.
Hey, Pav, I wasn't there, but I'm tipping that he wasn't far from the front row.
He was in the front row. He might have been on a half-forward flank, but he was in the front row.
We've got a lot of footy questions because we've never had the opportunity to actually talk to you about. So we might revisit a lot of your history and that type
of
thing. I just, in preparation for this, I always do a lot of preparation so that cover for Gary when we're doing these interviews. And I went back, I looked at an interview that you did with a former teammate of yours who's just been named the captain of Freo there, Justin Longmuir. Is that an odd position you find yourself in now when you were sitting down as the journalist?
Yeah.
sitting and then talking to a former teammate?
Yeah, well, we talked about it leading in, how strange it was that he's now the coach of Fremantle when I was interviewing him in that position as journalist or a media performer. So, I mean, Justin was drafted a year before I got drafted, and he lived around the corner in Melville, East Fremantle. So we had lots of good times together in the early stages of our careers, and really grew up together. He was a fine player, Justin. He was a real talent, but just had a shocking knee injury that required lots of surgery. And he got back and played, but never got back to his the heights of I think what he was a number two draft pick, so he could have been really anything. But that knee injury did cripple him, and then he went away for 10 years. Essentially, he spent a little bit of time at Fremantle as a development coach, and then over to West Coast in a similar role. Worked his way through the ranks there for probably about 8 years, and then of course came to Collingwood for a couple of years here and really developed himself. And we kept in contact, but you sort of lose touch a little bit by virtue of distance, the tyranny of distance, as you talked about. But he's back there now, and 38 years of age, coaching an AFL team. It is hard to believe in some ways, but what a great opportunity for he and the club.
It looked to me like if Fremantle were looking for somebody who was the opposite of Ross Lyon, they've found him in Justin Longmuir.
Is that fair? I think that's probably fair. Yeah, Ross was the best coach I had by an absolute mile. He was ruthless.
Why do you say that?
Well, he was analytical. He was ruthless. He had great empathy for the players that dug in and worked hard for him. And he was someone who I think, and this is contrary, I think, to popular view, but he made complex football issues really simple. He distilled it down that, whether it was...
That's the opposite of his public persona.
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah,
and this is the thing I think is lost to the public, that he would look at all the stats and all the data, and he'd be very data-driven. He'd look at all the vision and say, hey, guys, here's all you have to focus on. And it would be three words or 3 points. And that was his greatest skill, I think, as well as empowering his leaders and engaging with his group.
So isn't that interesting? And this is one of the great reasons why we love to talk to you, because we don't, outside of Melbourne and Perth, such a long way away, 95% of our audience would say, well, Rossy Lyon complicates things. Mm. That's what he sells. So he does his press conference, he does this and this and this. But for you to come out and say his great skill is to simplify things... is so enlightening, I think.
Well, he talks in riddles. I think that's probably... And he talks in a language that only his players and his group understand.
He created a language.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And if you understood the language, then, it was very, very simple. But you're right, I think that... And that's the art of a coach these days. You not only have to make it simple for your players, but you obviously have to make it simple for your fans and for the public to, because ultimately they're the ones that are paying a ticket to get in.
That's fantastic. Tell us about West Coast and Freo coexisting in the one town. I know Chris Connolly is a great mate of mine when he was coaching, and used to say that West Coast ran the town basically, and that Freo had to fight for everything they got. Is that sort of balanced out a bit now, or is there still a gap?
I think it's balanced out over time. And when I first arrived 20 years ago at the end of '99, it was absolutely that was the case. West Coast had won a couple of flags, and they're dominant in the corporate and hospitality space. I think you're right. When Chris came across, he really embraced the club and the brand, and he and Cameron Schwab did a great job at shifting that, along with a bit of on-field success, finals and whatnot. But Fremantle has this great, rich history of footy. If you think about East Fremantle, South Fremantle, great players from those two teams. There was a Fremantle Football Club way back in the 1850s when they first settled there. So just a great, rich history. And people want to love Freo. So, if you can get enough success and if you can really get that message out there, people jump on board. West Coast are still a dominant force. There's no doubt about that. They are in the AFL competition. But there's been enough push and shift that, and hopefully with this change and a young list, that people can jump back on board again.
Did you feel like you were the poor relation when you played over there?
When we first started, definitely, yeah. There was the big brother, little brother, brother syndrome, if you want to call it that. There was no question of that. And I think there was, a great level of disrespect in many ways to some of the senior players when I first got to the club. And we fought really hard for that. And I think when I retired out, the Derby Ledger was about the same. And we worked really hard at sort of not focusing on beating them, but wanting to get respect and respect from them and the entire AFL competition, and that's really what the competition's about, right? Getting respect and making sure that, you earn your stripes.
Got the great Matthew Pavlich in the studio with us. It's a great thrill, and our audience enjoying it. But this jumped off the page to me, Wisp, you being one of the great newsreaders of all time. It says, is the Pav modelling his voice on the Great Dennis Cometti? Is there a bit of Comet coming out in Pav or not?
I'm not trying to, but certainly to perfect. No, look, I am doing a bit of news reading, so I'm happy to take some tips, Tim. I tell you, it's
don't
a
take
lot
any from me.
Harder than it looks. That's been the biggest learning that I have had over the last couple of years, how challenging it is to act natural and be and be normal in front of a teleprompter. It's pretty challenging.
Well, as your news director ever said to you, because I stumbled and struggled with this for a long time when I first started, has your news director ever said to you, we could teach a monkey how to read an auto cue?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's pretty harsh feedback, but it's accurate. Yeah, I mean, I've spoken over grabs, you know, someone, obviously, you throw to a grab and I keep speaking. I've fumbled my words. The auto cues dropped out. I've had all the mares you could have in the first couple of years of trying to read the news, but I'm happy to take some notes, Tim.
I'm going to make you feel much better after the break. I'm going to chase up some audio.
That's
going to make you feel so much better. Stay with us, Pav, studio through until 8:30. Great to have him here. We're going to talk about life after footy, doing some really interesting stuff there as well. Matthew Pavlich from Perth with us.
Enjoy the moment. Enjoy winning the hardball. Hey, put on your Superman cage, boy. It's Wharfy time. Let's go. You don't know.
This is a Hall of Famer. This is a Hall of Famer we've got in here. I don't know, an 8-time All-Australian or something, or 7 best and fairest with Freo. I don't know what it is. But, Pav, you ain't living that one down ever.
It's amazing what you do to try to get a victory, Gaz. That's all I can say. The boys are revved up. You can hear them. The message was strong. It's... isn't it funny that you look back on things you say, or particularly in the moment? So that was just before, I think, round 7 or 8 in 2008 or 9, when we were, you know, a lot of the talk around trademarks and leading teams were big. So we'd sort of established some words and some aspirational things. And one of them was, you know, Wharfy, obviously linked to the docks down there in Frio. And the Superman cape was putting on your bulletproof vest and getting out there and running through a brick wall.
It's a nice cape, but he's still wearing it.
He'd play a good Superman, too. He looks very Clark Kentish. Now, that's a touching bash. You're reading the news over there at Channel 9. You're following a career path that the Wisp has trailed.
That's right.
But be aware that there are some pitfalls for the newsreader, and this is Tim Watson reading the Channel 7 news.
Well, coming up after the break, we'll catch up with Demon Coach.
And he forgot. And he just went to the break because he forgot the name. What happened?
They weren't having a good year. He'd written them off early.
Yeah. He was the caretaker coach. That was the replay show that I did for Channel 7 with Jared Healy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Greg Hutchison, who's the caretaker coach, we'd invited him in and we're going to talk to him after the break. He's sitting right next to me, Pav, and I forgot his name.
I wasn't reading the news, no.
No, I wasn't reading the news. I just forgot his name.
Hey, life after footy's always interests us. So some people get it right, and other players, sadly, quite a percentage perhaps haven't planned for it. You clearly have. You've got a fair bit going on. Tell us about some of the stuff you're doing.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think to begin with, the transition's really tricky for a lot of AFL players. And, you know, I'm one of the fortunate ones that got to play for a long time and got to study while I was playing and, you know, make some media contacts. And, you know, I feel as though I'm very fortunate to be able to step out and, you know, try to read the news and be on Fox and do all those things. But I've been involved in a couple of businesses at the back end of my career. PMY Group and also Pickstar are the main two. Both involved in sort of sport technology is the best way to describe it. PMY is more of a advisory tech group that helps stadiums and precincts and retail assets. So that's a business that Paul Yeomans, a really good friend of mine from South Australia but based here in Melbourne for a long time now, is involved in and going really well. But, yeah, Pickstar is an online technology marketplace where we've got...
So this will interest a lot of our listening audience. So just explain what this is all about.
Yeah, so we've got 1,500 sort of sports stars and sports personalities on our platform. All the managers and agents get full oversight of any opportunity that gets pitched to them. So it's essentially the entire process of discovering, matching and booking some talent, a star for an event, a campaign, a product launch, online, you know, a shout-out, whatever it may be, an experience... that is all, you know, efficiently done via our platform. So you can put in an opportunity. It could be...
So if BMW are having a big launch and they want Tim Watson, for instance, they can go through Pixar.
They can shortlist Tim Watson, Gary Lyon, Bob Murphy.
Yeah, no-brainer.
And that goes straight to you guys, and then you can say yes or no, I'm available. Your manager gets full oversight. No, you can't do a BMW deal. You've got a sponsorship with Mercedes or whatever it may be.
Toyota, sorry.
Or Kia. And, and yeah, absolutely. It makes the entire process so much quicker and easier. So whether it's a fan experience or a brand, we've developed that technology. So, yeah, we've really grown over the past couple of years, and it's something that we're pretty proud of.
So is that pickstar.com.au?
Yeah,
that's the place to go.
Is that transition been easier for you because you're such a high-profile player and the like? What advice would you give to other players who may not have enjoyed the same notoriety that you did as a player?
Well, look, I think that's the point I was trying to make, Tim. It is challenging for guys. I think the average time on a list when I was finishing as the president of the PA was about 6 years, 5.5, 6 years. So you think, your career is done by early 20s, maybe mid-20s, and you're probably further behind some of your contemporaries you went through school with because you haven't gone out, you haven't had time to go out and get a degree, maybe done your apprenticeship, whatever it may be. Yeah, you might have a few extra bucks in the back pocket or, paying off a mortgage or something, but you're probably a little bit further behind. So my advice would be always have an eye on the future and be realistic about where your career is at. Sometimes I think that's the one that's really challenging I'll keep hanging on, whereas maybe the best decision is to step out and make that hard call of ripping the band-aid off and starting again in a new career, perhaps. But that's always really hard when it's something that you've always dreamed of doing, playing
of course
in the AFL. So, it's tricky for lots of players.
Hey, I only got you for a couple more minutes, Pav. Harley Bennell, Jesse Hogan, a couple of players that you've played with, or Harley you did, and now Jesse's over. What can you tell us about Jesse Hogan or what's coming out of Perth over there?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously he's dealing with a pretty significant mental health issue at the moment, and I think that's the root cause of a lot of his issues. He's obviously had some time away from the club at the moment, trying to get himself healthy and right, which is everyone hopes that's the case, because Jesse's a talent and we want to see our best players out there. But that's the root cause of some of the issues that he then has, whether it be with alcohol or behavioural stuff, which the club have been on record about. So I think everyone's just trying to get behind him and supporting him. And I think hopefully the general public understand now that there's behaviour issues that come from something, and that something is really what they're trying to sort out and trying to get him better. So he's happy, he's healthy, he's out there playing footy, and let's hope he can do that.
And it's in our last minute with Harley Bennell.
Yeah.
What are your expectations? Well, it's hard to tell, I know, but in terms of talent, what did you see from him?
Huge talent and someone who works really hard. And that was sort of what we saw. But he hasn't had the opportunity to get his body right, or he's had the opportunity but just hasn't quite got to the line. There's always been a little niggle or whatever it may be with his calf at the last moment. I hope he goes really well. It sounds like he's settled down with his young family over here. He's made some really smart choices off the field by the sounds, and he's a talent. It's just whether or not the Melbourne strength and conditioning people and physios can get him out there.
In 10 seconds, can the Dockers play finals?
Just, but I don't think so this year.
Okay. In five seconds, the best forward currently at Fox?
Gary Lyon.
Beautifully said. Great to have you. Seriously, it's great to have you in the studio and to talk, and our audience love it as well. So good luck for the year ahead, mate.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. Thanks,
Matthew Pavlich in the studio with us. We'll be back. Questions without notice, amongst other things, as we head towards 9:00.